طيب بسم الله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله ومن ولا وبعد. جزاك الله خير. Okay, today this is our 15th session reading from Arabic lessons in fiqh. المستوى الثالث, third level, Islamic University of Medina Arabic Language Institute. This is the final topic that we're going to be taking from Kitab al-Tahara. This is the final topic that we're going to be taking from Kitab al-Tahara, the Book of Purification. And the final topic is entitled Ash-Shakku fi al-Taharati. Ash-Shakku fi al-Taharati. Page 24. Final topic for this Kitab al-Tahara. Okay, by the way, in case I forget in the end, and since it's the last topic, you know that there are questions that follow the topic. So there are some questions here on the bottom of page 24, and then they continue on page 25. So before you come to class next week, please write down on paper the answers to those questions. Huh? We have a topic now, we have to finish. If we finish the topic, we can do it today, no problem. But I don't think we're going to finish. Even though it appears like we will, but not to me, it doesn't appear like we will. To you, it appears like that, I understand. Because you're looking at your book, but I'm looking at some other stuff. طيب, بسم الله, أشك في الطهارة. What is the meaning? Doubt about purification. Yani a person has doubt about their state of tahara. Are they in a state of tahara or they're not in a state of tahara? This is extremely important because this happens to people, yani a lot. Some people more than others, but it may happen to anyone that you may be in doubt. So if you're in doubt, what do? Do you just take a chance and gamble? I'll just pray anyway. And maybe your prayer will be rejected. Because the salat, Allah doesn't accept the salat without purification. Yeah, so will you take a chance? Or will you, yani, take precautions? What are you supposed to do? Yani, that's what we're going to talk about a little bit today. Okay, so on the top of the page, number one, it says, yani there are two conditions here, and then there are two hadith that are mentioned, and then we're going to discuss each of them. The first condition, من تيقن الطهارة طهارة وشك في الحدث حكم ببقائه على الطهارة ولا إبرة بالشك لأن الطهارة هي المتيقنة وَلَا يُنْقَلُ عَنْهَا إِلَّا بِيَكِينٍ مَنْ تَيَقَّنَ الطَّهَارَةَ وَشَكَّ فِي الْحَدَثِ. First condition is what? Now, the one who is certain, who has yakin, they are certain about their state of purification, they know that they purified themselves. But they are in doubt about hadath. Did they invalidate that state of purification? Did they relieve themselves? Did they pass wind? Did something happen that invalidated the wudu? They're not sure. I know I made wudu when I left the house, but then after some hours went by, I went to the masjid, I went to the store, I went other places. I don't know. I'm not sure. Did anything happen that invalidated my state of purification? This is the first condition. But I'm sure that I made wudu, that I took a ghusl. I did what I was supposed to do. I was in a state of tahara. This condition of this person is حكم ببقائه على الطهارة. حكم is مبني للمجهول, right? It is ruled concerning this person that يعني be بقائه he remains upon the طهارة. Person is yakin, certain that they purified themselves. There's some doubt though. did they invalidate it? They're not really sure. The ruling concerning this person is that they remain upon that which they are certain about, on the yaqeen. That means their condition is that they are in a state of tahara. وَلَا إِبْرَةَ بِالشَّكِّ وَلَا إِبْرَةَ بِالشَّكِّ There's no place, yani there's no consideration for the doubt. Yani it doesn't have any weight. The doubt doesn't have any weight. لا إبرة. Why? لأن الطهارة هي المتيقنة. Because the state of purification, tahara, is that which you are certain about. You know that you entered into a state of tahara. You are certain about that. وَلَا يُنْقَلُ أَنْهَا إِلَّا بِيَقِينٍ And you don't move. يعني you don't move عنها from it, from the state of tahara. You don't move from it. You don't get out of the state of tahara. إِلَّا بِيَقِينٍ Except by that which you are certain about. Yani the certainty is not removed by doubt. The certainty is not removed by doubt. I am certain that I made wudu and I am doubt that I am validated. I don't really know for sure. I think maybe, I'm not sure. So then certainty is not removed by doubt. Certainty is not removed by doubt. This is a principle in Islam. They have proof for it. That's crystal clear. And these principles that the scholars derive from evidence from the Sharia are very important because they're not only applicable to our topic under discussion, but we can apply it to any kind of situation that we come across. Certainty is not removed by doubt. Certainty is only removed by certainty. I'm certain that I invalidated the ablution. Okay, that's different. Certain. Now, khalas, tahara is gone. I move from tahara to hadith. Okay. Second condition. من تيقن الحدث وشك في الطهارة. من تيقن الحدث وشك في الطهارة. Meaning? The one who is certain about the hadith that they invalidated their state of purity وشك في الطهارة but they in doubt about the purification meaning that I invalidated the state of purification certainly for sure I remember and a person went to relieve themselves they know they went to relieve themselves they remember clearly Now they don't remember, did they make wudu again? I'm in doubt. I must have. I mean, I always do. But I don't remember doing it though. So now there's doubt, right? Because maybe you know, I always, if I go to relieve myself, I always make wudu. I don't wait until it's time for salat. That's something that I do. And if that's your condition, right? You know you always do it, but now you're trying to remember, when did I make wudu? I don't remember. I can't recall actually making wudu. So now I'm certain that I'm validated to wudu. As far as making wudu all over again, I'm not sure about it. I'm in doubt. That's what I'm in doubt about. This is very real. Especially as you get older, but even for young people too. Especially when you start getting older, you're going to forget a lot. But even for the young people. Except some people, they don't really care. They just, don't matter. Inshallah, I got wudu. Inshallah, you got wudu. Inshallah, you don't have any salah. You just do an exercise. من تيقن الحدث وشك في الطهارة بنى على اليقين وهو الحدث. They base their condition upon the yaqeen, that which they are certain about, which is the invalidation of wudu. And in this case, they are certain they invalidated their state of tahara. They in doubt about did they renew their tahara. So the ruling is based upon what you are certain about, not what you are in doubt about. I think I might have, probably could have, should have. No, all of that doesn't count. Now,
Sheikh, so sometimes you see people sleeping and they just get up and make salah, And
sometimes you did what?
Sometimes you see people sleeping,
Oh, you see somebody sleeping.
And then they just Shava time, they just, you know, getting up and making Salah, and then he tells them others to make Odu, like why I have Odu, but, you know, what is the ruling about sleeping?
Somebody was sleeping?
Yeah, like, you know, sitting down, someone like, you know, leaning down.
Okay, we're not going to talk about that now, because we already spent 2 weeks talking about that, but you weren't here. No problem. Yani, sleep, there's difference of opinion about it. If it is a deep sleep, in which the person is not aware of what's happening around them, they have to make wudu. Not because sleep invalidates wudu, because they don't know what happened while they were sleeping. But if it is a light sleep, they're sitting up waiting for the prayer, perhaps, they're not leaning on anything, they're sitting firmly in their position, and they're just dozing a little bit, they're not completely gone, then they don't have to make wudu. Why? Because the companions of the Prophet, they used to do that. Scenario in Sahih Hadith, that they used to sleep. Some of them, their heads were nodding, even some of them snoring. Sitting, waiting for the salah, and when the time came for prayer, they stood up, and they prayed, and they did not make wudu. We already discussed this in detail. So I'm just going to answer your question with that, and that has to suffice for you. You can go and get the recording and listen to it in full.
But if they lean, then salah is also invalid, right?
It's not absolute. It depends on their condition. Okay, if the person is sure that they're sitting upright, firm, they know that they are in strong posture, it's not possible for them to pass gas in that sitting position, except that they know about it, then they don't have to make wudu. But if they are not sure, maybe they are leaning on something, maybe they're laying down or something, maybe they, even a person is laying down and they're fully conscious, it's okay, as long as you're fully conscious. You might doze a little bit, but you know what's happening. As soon as somebody came near you, without even touching you, you look. Because you are conscious. Even though you are going a little bit, but not completely gone. As long as you are conscious of what's happening, you don't have to make wudu. But if you lose consciousness, you're not really sure what happened, then you have to make wudu. Don't take a chance with this. Okay, let's finish the second condition. Yani, the one who is certain that they invalidated wudu, they in doubt about did they renew their tahara, then their ruling is based upon the yaqeen, which is that they invalidated the wudu. وَلَا إِبْرَةَ بِالشَّكِ. And again, there's no doubt, there's no yani consideration for that which is doubtful when you have certainty about something. You know you invalidated that state of tahara, and you are not really sure that you make wudu again. Then the ruling is based upon that which is certain. There's no consideration for that which is doubtful. لِأَنَّ الْحَدَثَ هُوَ الْمُتَيَقَّنُ. Because the invalidation of the state of tahara is what you are certain about. That's what you are certain about. وَلَا يُنْتَقَلْ عَنْهُ إِلَّا بِيَكِينٍ. And that you don't leave it from the certainty, except with that which is also certainty. Certainty. Only certainty removes certainty. Doubt does not remove certainty. These are two conditions. Shaykh Muhammad ibn Salih Uthaymeen, rahimahullah rahmatan wasi'an, he is one of the greatest scholars of fiqh in this era. That's a fact. All the honest fear people all over the earth, they know that. That's what I know for a fact. Because I have been in places where people came from all over the world. For real. From every place. Whether China, Russia, any place. Europe, Asia, Africa. And the people who know Sheikh Muhammad, they know that he is one of the greatest scholars of fiqh of this era. From all over the earth. Not to say that there's no other great scholars. Sure, there are plenty of great scholars, mashallah. But he is one of the foremost of them, without a doubt. And everybody who has knowledge, they know that. Unless they are just fanatical, yani, blind followers, who follow whatever somebody told them. Mashallah, the Shaykh, he had thousands of students that lived in Qasim. And he used to take care of them, provide them with housing and food and everything. That's right. Any student who came, he used to house them and feed them and clothe them. Free. Because they are full-time students in Qasim when he was living. He wasn't rich. But the people knew that he had students. And people used to give him money. And then he didn't take it for himself. Even people gave him cars, he didn't even keep them. He gave them to anybody who was in need. Naam. People came from all over the world to learn from him. And when his family was moving to another city, his sheikh told his father and his mother, Muhammad is staying with me. He can't go. Because he has to learn. He's going to be a great man. And that is the fact. That's what happened. Sheikh Muhammad ibn Salih al-Uthaymeen. Rahimahullah. So the Sheikh, mashallah, he brought some benefits, which we tried to look at a little bit of it. But these are two conditions. The Sheikh, he mentioned four conditions. Sheikh Muhammad ibn Salih al-Uthaymeen, he mentioned four conditions. These are two. These are the obvious, right? Person who's sure that they have a state of tahara, they're in doubt, did they invalidate it? Person is sure that they invalidate it, they're in doubt, did they renew their purification? That's what's clear, that's obvious. But the Sheikh mentioned two more conditions with some discussion. We can't go through the full of it, but we'll look at it. Before that, look at the evidence for this ruling, this position, that certainty is not removed by doubt. Whether the certainty is your state of purification or the absence of it. It's not, certainty is not removed by doubt. وَذَلِكَ لِحَدِيثِ Abbad ibn Tamim an ammihi. The hadith of who? Now, this is based upon the hadith of Abbad ibn Tamim an ammihi, from his uncle, from his mother's brother?
No.
Uncle. So mother's brother is not uncle?
Yes,
Khal. Khal. His mother's brother is Khal. Naam. Sa. Father's brother. His father's brother. By the way, his paternal uncle. By the way, his father's brother's name was Abdullah ibn Zayd ibn Asim al-Ansari. Abdullah ibn Zayd ibn Asim al-Ansari. And we'll come back to him, inshallah. His uncle. قال, his uncle said, شكي إلى النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم. شكي, يعني شكا, يشكو. Complaint, complaint came to the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم. This is the complaint. الرجل يخيل إليه أنه يجد الشيء في الصلاة, يعني في بطنه, في الصلاة, while he's praying. يعني الرجل يخيل إليه أنه يجد الشيء في الصلاة. Imagine, he thought, it appeared to him that there's something in the salat. يعني in some of the narrations, في بطنه, in his stomach. Something is happening, some rumbling, some bubbling, some something happening, some movement in the stomach, which caused him to think, maybe it's, يعني came out. What's in the stomach is rumbling, it came out. Huh? This came to the Prophet ﷺ. A man, somebody said to the Prophet, what about a man who imagines while he's in the salat that there's something happening? And in some of the narrations, في بطنه, in his stomach. فقال صلى الله عليه وسلم, لا ينصرف حتى يسمع صوتا أو يجد ريحا. لا ينصرف. He should not leave the salat. He's in salat. And now he gets this thought in his mind, I don't know, did I invalidate my wudu or not? So the Prophet ﷺ said, لا ينصرف. He must not go. He must not leave his salat. حتى يسمع صوتا أو يجد ريحا. Until or unless he يعني hears a sawt, a sound, or he smells a ريح, some odor. رواه الجماعة إلا ترمذي. Reported by الجماعة. السبعة إلا الترمذي. Who narrated this hadith? First, البخاري. A Muslim. Abu Dawud. We'll come to Ahmed. النسائي. إلا الترمذي. وابن ماجة. And then Ahmed. Yani as-saba means as-sahihain, Bukhari and Muslim, as-sunan al-arba'a, Abu Dawud, Tirmidhi, Ibn Majah, al-Nasa'i, and Ahmed in his Musnad. But here he said, al-jama'a illa al-Tirmidhi. We're going to look at this, actually, this narration, this wording right here is the narration of Muslim. This is the wording that came in Muslim, like this. Dalil al-Thani. وحديث أبي هريرة رضي الله عنه عن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم إذا وجد أحدكم في بطنه في بطنه شيئا منصوب شيئاً. Correct your book. شيئاً. فأشكل عليه أخرج منه شيء أم لا؟ فلا يخرج. Or as it came in Sahih Muslim, لا يخرجن. ونون التأكيد. لا يخرجن من المسجد حتى يسمى صوتا أو يجد ريحا. يعني الحديث أبو هريرة. The first hadith is the hadith of Abbad ibn Tamim from his uncle Abdullah ibn Zayd al-Ansari. يعني زيد ibn عاصم al-Ansari. Second hadith is the hadith of Abu Hurairah from the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم. إذا وجد أحدكم في بطنه شيئا. Meaning? If any one of you finds something, feels something, experiencing something happening, في بطنه, in his stomach, he found something, فأشكل عليه. فأشكل عليه. يعني he was? Yeah, أشكل, he wasn't sure. He was confused. He was unsure. He was uncertain. He had doubt. أشكل عليه. It wasn't clear to him. أخرج منه شيء أم لا. He wasn't sure. Did something come out from him or not? The Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said, if any one of you finds something in his stomach and he's unsure, he's in doubt, he's uncertain, it's not clear, did something come out or not? فلا يخرجن من المسجد. Then he must not go out of the masjid. Go out of the masjid for what? Why is he going out of the masjid? Because the wudu is out of the masjid. Yani, there's no place in the masjid to make wudu. They have to go outside to get some water and make wudu. فلا يخرجن من المسجد حتى يسمع صوتا أو يجد أو يجد ريحا. Huh? The one, this now, يخرج جنة is from Muslim. Is the riwayah of Muslim, نعم. Yeah, نعم. فلا يخرج ولا يخرج جنة. يعني in Sahih Muslim, لا يخرج جنة. يعني the meaning of لا يخرج جنة, as opposed to لا يخرج, don't go out. لا يخرج جنة, definitely, absolutely, do not go out of the masjid. Unless, نعم, ثقيل, unless, until he hears the sound, or he يعني experiences some odor. رواه مسلم وأبو داود والترمذي. And reported by Imam Muslim and Imam Abu Dawud and Imam al-Tirmidhi رحمهم الله رحمة واسعة. Okay, I sent the email. I said, please review the comments of Sheikh Abdul Rahman Asifi al-Rahman Mubarak Fouri. Did anybody get that email? Because you know if you got it, then I'm going to call you to account, right? So everybody's going to say, not me. He said, oh, he just saw it now. Okay, he got a free pass.
It's unread.
He got a free pass.
It's unread, you can tell.
It's unread? Okay, alhamdulillah, we trust him. We're not worried about that. MashaAllah. He said, the email says, this is the other brother, his helping is the brother. He's saying, nah, it really is so. It says unread. He didn't see the email. Okay. Or at least, he didn't read the email. Doesn't mean he didn't see it. Thank you, Murshid. Thank you. يعني لا يؤمن أحدكم حتى يحب يا أخي ما يحب لنفسه.
But you can read it and then mark it as unread as well.
Also, you can go back. Yeah. Now, okay, quickly. Okay, so we're going to go to Bulugh Maram, right? We're going to go to Bulugh Maram. I already sent the PDF out. If you don't have it, you can send me an email. We'll share it with you, no problem. بإذن الله. Kitab al-Tahara, the book of Tahara. By the way, Bulugh Maram is the book of who? Al-Hafiz ibn Hajar Asqalani. Yani he, this is one of his most famous books. But the greatest book that he compiled was
Fath al-Bari.
Explanation Sahih al-Bukhari. Amir al-Mu'mineen fil Hadith. Al-Hafiz ibn Hajar Asqalani. Amir al-Mu'mineen fil Hadith. Naam. In this hadith, in Bulugh Maram, Kitab al-Tahara, it's hadith number 69. An Abi Huraira, رضي الله تعالى عنه, قال قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم, إذا وجد أحدكم في بطنه شيئا فأشكل عليه أخرج منه شيء أم لا, فلا يخرجن من المسجد حتى يسمع صوتا أو يجد ريحا. أخرجه مسلم. the Sheikh Safi Rahman Mubarak Fouri, rahimahullah rahmatan wasiyan, he was also a great man. I remember before he died, he was very sick. He came to Qatar and we went to his hotel and we sat with him and spent some time. He was very gracious. He gave us a lot of time and mashallah, it was beneficial. He wrote a lot of books. What is distinguished about this scholar, this great scholar of hadith? He was from Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah, la shak. What was great about him is that he was not an Arab. Huh? He was Indian. But his Arabic was so strong that when he wrote books, he's explaining the Arabic in a way that mashallah, whoever even and he knows a little bit of Arabic, they can understand everything, the way he explains it. That's why I said, go back and read his commentary. Because he explains everything, subhanallah, in a way that it became crystal clear for you. The Shaykh, rahimahullah, he says, the meaning of this hadith, يعني إذا وجد أحدكم إذا وجد أحدكم في بطنه شيئا يعني وجد في بطنه شيئا أي أحس مثل القرقرة يعني he feels, he senses something rumbling, bubbling يعني in his stomach, في بطنه بأن تردد في بطنه ريح يعني that there is some air, some gas or something moving around in his stomach. فأشكل عليه يعني أشكل عليه بمعنى أي اشتبه يعني اشتبه التبس يعني he became in doubt, unclear about what is actually happening. He wasn't sure. أخرج أخرج يعني he said أخرج الحمزة للاستفهام and he's telling us يعني that this word is not أخرج but it's أخرج in case you be not sure, maybe when you're reading you don't know. But it is حمزة الاستفهام. أي التبس عليه خروج الري وعدم خروجه. يعني the person became mixed up, confused. Did some gas or wind come out of him or didn't come out? He's not sure. That's the meaning of أشكل عليه. فلا يخرجن. أي لا يترك الصلاة. Don't go out, meaning don't go out of the salat. لمجرد هذا الشك. What does it mean, لمجرد هذا الشك? Simply because. Just because of this doubt alone? No, don't leave the salat. Just because of you have doubt in your mind, question uncertainty, you're not really sure, you're confused, don't leave the salat. حتى يسمع صوتا للدرات. What is durat?
That's the heavy sound of releasing.
That is the when a person pass gas with a sound, with noise, it makes noise. There's sound. You hear something. That's called durat. يعني حتى يسمع صوتا للدرات. يعني the sound of the gas that is passed with a noise. أو يجد ريحا أي رائحة للفسائي. يعني the smell or the odor of fusa. What is fusa?
Has no sound.
Huh? That means the passing of wind without any sound. Yani in Arabic there's a word for passing gas with the sound, passing gas without a sound. Durat fusa. He said hatta yani yasma sautan lidurat aw yajid rihan lilfusa. And here's the point, the benefit, the faida from this commentary here is where the Shaykh says, وَلَيْسَ الْمَقْسُودُ اِشْتِرَاطُ هَذَيْنِ الْأَمْرَيْنِ لَيْسَ الْمَقْسُودُ اِشْتِرَاطُ يعني شرط اِشْتِرَاطُ هَذَيْنِ الْأَمْرَيْنِ يعني what is intended by these words of the Prophet until you hear a sound or you smell an odor? What is intended? لَيْسَ الْمَقْسُودُ the intent of this is not that this is a shart, a condition that you must actually hear something or smell something. That's not a condition. That's not what is intended here. As many people think. I didn't hear anything. I didn't smell anything. Khalas. You know you passed wind. For sure. No doubt. Yaqeen. But I didn't hear. I know the hadith. Said you didn't hear anything. You didn't smell anything. No, that's not what is intended. Listen to this. Subhanallah. This is what, how we benefit from the scholars. ليس المقصود استراط. That is a condition that you have to hear or smell something. هذين الأمرين إنما المقصود هو حصول اليقين بخروج الريح. ها؟ إنما المقصود. إنما means what? Verily, it is this and only this. يعني what? حصل. نعم. إنما المقصود. يعني verily what is intended. And this is what is intended only and not more than this. What is intended is حصول اليقين بخروج الريح. يعني what is intended by this expression until you hear something, until you smell something, is that you became certain that you passed wind. Until you became certain. So how do you become certain? Maybe you heard something. Maybe you smelled something. But what if you are certain without hearing or smelling anything? That's the maqsood, that you are sure. When you are sure that you passed wind, whether it's by hearing or smelling or other than that, when you are sure, that is what is intended. That is the objective. Husool al-yaqeen. I'm certain. I'm not in doubt anymore. Yani ashkal alayya, I'm not sure. But when you became certain, now that's a different matter. وَلَوْ مِنْ غَيْرِ هَذَيْنِ الطَّرِيقَيْنِ. Even if it's from other than these two ways. Even if it's from other than smelling or hearing something. وَإِنَّمَا خَصَّهُمَا بِالذِّكْرِ لِكَوْنِهِمَا الْغَالِبِ فِي هَذَا الْبَابِ. Look how the Shaykh explained this in one paragraph. But crystal clear, he didn't leave anything left. What is, yani, how to look at it, how not to look at it, and why. Everything is there. The intent is not that it is a condition that you must hear a smell. But rather what is intended is that you become certain that something was released. Even if it is from other than these two means or these ways. Rather, إِنَّمَا خَصَّهُمَا. Why the Prophet ﷺ mentioned these two things specifically? يعني خَصَّهُمَا بِذِكْرَ لِكَوْنِهِمَا الْغَالِبِ فِي هَذَا الْبَابِ. It is because these are the two things that are most common in this particular matter of passing wind. What's most common is that you're going to hear something or you're going to smell something. I don't know about you, but to me, mashallah, like may Allah have mercy upon the Shaykh. He has really brought this in a simple matter, crystal clear, and made us to understand that which perhaps we might not have understood without his explanation. Okay, I just want to give you a couple of points here from Sahih Muslim, Bab Kitab Al-Hayd. يعني in Sahih Muslim it came under the bab الدليل على أن من تيقن الطهارة ثم شك في الحدث فله أن يصلي بطهارته تلك. يعني this hadith that we're having under discussion, the first hadith from Abbad ibn Tamim from his uncle, came in Sahih Muslim under the chapter heading the dalil ala anna man tayaqqana at-tahara. Yani dalil that the one who is certain about his state of purification, thumma shakka fil hadath, and then after being certain that he purified himself, he became doubtful about invalidating his state of tahara, falahu an yusalliya bi taharatihi tilka. Then it is permissible, it is right for him to perform prayer with that particular tahara. Tahara what? That he's certain about, but he's in doubt about the invalidation of it. And then he mentions the hadith, yani, that we read already, Abad ibn Tamim from his uncle. And in one of the narrations in Sahih Muslim, he says at the end of it, وَقَالَ أَبُو بَقْرٍ وَالزُّهَيْرِ ibn Harb. And these are from the narrators, the ruwat of this hadith. Yani Imam Muslim mentions, قَالَ أَبُو بَقْرٍ وَالزُّهَيْرِ ibn Harb. This is not part of the hadith, but it's after the mention of the hadith. He said, they said, هُوَ Abdullah ibn Zayd. Yani huwa Abdullah ibn Zayd. Huwa. Men huwa. Yani ammuhu. Ammu Abbad ibn Tamim. He didn't mention his uncle's name. In the narrative he said, An Abbad. Yani ibn Tamim. An ammihi. So the two of the narrators of that hadith, they said he is Abdullah ibn Zayd. And in other places we found that he is from the Ansar. And in other places we found that his father is Asim. And there's a reason for that. And the scholars of hadith are meticulous in this, in the names of the people, in order to be clear who is who. Because sometimes people, a lot of times I said in Friday class, don't put Umar. Maybe there's two or three Umars. Don't put Muhammad. Maybe there's somebody else named Muhammad. We don't know which Muhammad it is. So in hadith, we have to be sure exactly who's the narrator. Is he thiqah or is he da'if? Is he kazab or what? We need to know for sure. So we can't just go with one name or even two names, because sometimes there are many narrators, they have the same first name and same father's name. But it came here anyway that the person that he's referring to is Abdul ibn Zayd, and we come back to him. In another narration, in Sahih Muslim also, the narration of Abu Huraira that we also read, إِذَا وَجِدَ أَحَدُكُمْ فِي بَطْنِهِ شَيْئًا, and then he became doubtful about it, did something come out of him or not, don't go out of the masjid until... Both of these came in Sahih Muslim under the same chapter heading in Sahih Muslim. Both of those hadith, he brought both of them. In Sahih Bukhari, it came under the bab, مَنْ لَمْ يَرَى الْوَسَاوِسْ وَنَحْوَهَا مِنَ الْمُشَبَّهَاتِ. Yani the one who doesn't give consideration or weight to the whispering that came into his mind, the doubts, and that which is like it. Who doesn't give consideration to that. We should not give consideration to that. لَا عِبْرَ لَهَا. It doesn't have any weight. And here he narrates the hadith here in Sahih al-Bukhari. He narrates the hadith from Abbad ibn Tamim, from his uncle. Almost the same wording, but he said it was complained to the Prophet ﷺ, الرَّجُلُ يَجِدُ فِي الصَّلَاةِ شَيْئًا أَيَقْتَعُ الصَّلَاةِ. Yani a person, he finds something and happening inside him while he's in salat. The person said, should he cut off his prayer? Yani should he leave the prayer? He made it as a question. أَيَقْتَعُ الصَّلَاةِ. The Prophet ﷺ said, لَا حَتَّى يَسْمَى سَوْتًا أَوْ يَجِدُ رِيحًا. Yani not, no, he must not leave the salat. He must not discontinue the salat until he hears or smells something with the meaning that we already discussed. Naam. And then the other narrations, I want to mention just one more point concerning this, concerning some of the other narrations came in Ibn Majah, Nasai, and Abu Dawood. Yani their wordings is almost the same. But one point here came in Kashf al-Mushkil min Hadith al-Sahihain. Yani uncovering the problematic affairs in the two authentic books, Al-Bukhari and Muslim. He mentions, the author mentions here, that Kashf al-Mushkil min Musnad. Yani this is removing the doubt concerning the Musnad of Abdul ibn Zayd al-Ansari. Yani the Musnad, yani the books of Musnad, there are two types. But one type of Musnad, like the Musnad of Imam Ahmed, is the Musnad in which the book is not arranged according to fiqh topics, tahara, salat, but it's arranged according to what?
Sahaba.
Who said that? Sahaba. It's arranged according to Sahaba. All the hadith of Aisha radiallahu anha is narrated in one book. The, yani, Musnad of Aisha. All the hadith of Abu Huraira is narrated together. All the hadith he narrated in one place. Under, yani, the Musnad of Abu Huraira. So here we have in the Musnad of Abdul ibn Zayd al-Ansari. His name was Abdul ibn Zayd. He was from the Ansar. في الصحابة رجلان من الأنصار يقال لكل واحد منهما عبد الله ابن زيد. What's the problem?
Two men,
both of them from the Ansar, both of them their name is Abdul ibn Zayd. Same name. Both of them from the Ansar, both of them Sahaba. He said, وَإِنَّمَا يُفَرِّقْ بَيْنُهُمَا بِالْأَجْدَادِ. This is knowledge of hadith. Yani this point here is related to knowledge of hadith. That it's good for us to know something about. The way you distinguish between them is from what?
Grandfathers.
أَحَدُهُمَا إِبْنِ ثَعْلَبَ. One of them, his grandfather is, yani إِبْنِ ثَعْلَبَ. وَهُوَ رَائِي الْأَذَانِ فِي الْمَنَامِ. Yani Abdul ibn Zayd, إِبْنِ ثَعْلَبَ, he is the one who had the dream about the adhan. When the Prophet ﷺ was legislating how we will announce the time for prayer, one of the companions, Abdul ibn Zayd, al-Ansari, had a dream. That's Abdul ibn Zayd ibn al-Tha'alaba. He's the one who had the dream about what you should do to make the adhan. وَهُوَ مِنْ أَهْلُ Badr, and he is from Ahlul Badr, meaning? People who fought in the Battle of Badr. وَالثَّانِي Abdul ibn Zayd ibn Asim. He's the one that we're talking about here. وَهُوَ صَاحِبْ هَذَا الْمُسْنَدِ وَلَمْ يَشْهَدَ الْبَدْرِ, and he didn't participate in Badr. وَجُمْلَةُ مَا رَوَى عَنْ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهِ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ ثَمَانِيَةَ وَأَرْبَعُونَ حَدِيثًا أَخْرَجَ لَهُ الصَّحِيحَيْنِ مِنْهَا ثَمَانِيَةَ. Yani in brief, yani he is the second one, and he's the one that this hadith is narrated from, the uncle of Abbad. There are yani 48 hadith narrated through him from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and 8 of them are in the Sahihain. من المشكل في الحديث الثاني شكل. So then he mentions this hadith, and then he says, and this is the point that I want to reach to at the end. هذا نهي. This hadith where the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said لا ينصرف حتى يسمع صوتا أو يجد ريحا. He said هذا نهي عن العمل بمقتضى الوسواس لأن يكين الطهارة لا يقاومه الشك. وفي هذا تنبيه على ترك موافقة الوسواس في كل حال. يعني هذا نهي عن العمل بمقتضى الوسواس. يعني this hadith, يعني in it is a prohibition from acting upon that which is required, which is necessitated by whispering doubts. يعني we are prohibited from acting upon those doubts. لأن يقين الطهارة لا يقاومه الشك. Because the certainty that I made, يعني my طهارة, cannot be opposed by doubt. It cannot be يعني removed by doubt. And in this, there's a tanbih, يعني notification, alerting us to the fact that we must leave موافقة الوسواس في كل حال. يعني we must never do that which is in agreement with the whisperings, the doubts that came in our mind. We must not act upon that. In this hadith there is a clarification of that particular affair. After this, يعني the Sheikh Muhammad ibn Salih Uthaymeen, he mentions this topic of doubt and certainty, and he says, يعني it came in his explanation, وَمَنْ تَيَقَّنَ الطَّهَارَ وَشَكَّ فِي الْحَدَثِ أو بالعكس بنى على اليقين. يعني in summary, من تيقن الطهارة وشك في الحدث أو بالعكس. That means that's the two conditions that we already discussed. That's two conditions. The one who's certain about tahara and doubtful about the invalidation of tahara, أو بالعكس, or the opposite. Certain about invalidation of purification and doubtful about يعني tahara. بنى على اليقين. In both cases, we base our position or the ruling upon that which we are certain about. Either way, whatever you're certain about, whether it's tahara or whether it's hadath, that's what we must base our action upon. I said that the Shaykh mentioned four conditions, right? So these are two of them. And I'm going to mention just a couple of points, and then I'll mention the other two points yani, in brief, because it's very long. It's like, I don't know, 5, 6, 7 pages. Yani, the Shaykh is like really going to a lot of detail, but he brought a couple of points that I think يعني, are valuable for us. يعني, the Shaykh, this is his explanation now, rahimahullah. من تيقن الطهارة وشك في الحدث أو بالعكس بنى على اليقين. يعني إذا تيقن أنه طاهر وشك في الحدث فإنه يبني على اليقين. وهذا عام في موجبات الغسل أو الوضوء. يعني here's the benefit, right? Shaykh said, whoever is certain that he is pure, he has purified himself, he's doubt about invalidation of his purification, then he must base his position upon that which he is certain about. And this is general for all of the mujibat al-ghusl wal-wudu. And this is general for what? Everything that necessitates ghusl or necessitates wudu. Everything that requires you to make a ghusl requires, this is the rule for everything, for all of them. This is not just for passing wind. Whether it's passing wind, urination, defecation, intimacy with your spouse, whatever. Everything that requires wudu or ghusl, this is the rule. That's the first benefit. And the Shaykh gives an example. And this is the greatness of Shaykh Al-Faymeen. He always explains, defines, gives examples, gives other thoughts. Maybe what if somebody says this? I need to make sure in the end it's crystal clear. Example, a man makes ablution for Salatul Maghrib. And then when the adhan for Isha is called, he gets up to pray and then he has doubt, did he invalidate his ablution or not? You get the example? He made purification for Maghrib. But then when the adhan for Isha came, then he meaning after some time went by. Maybe he went out to masjid, he went back to work, he went home, he came back. Time passed, came time for Isha, he got ready to pray Isha. And then he began to wonder. Yani, what happened from Maghrib till now? Did I do anything? Did anything happen that invalidate my state of? So what is his condition? What is his condition? He has tahara. Because he's sure that he made ablution. He prayed Maghrib with it. He's not sure that he invalidated. So his condition is, yani, yabni ala al-yaqeen. He based it upon what he is certain about. So the Shaykh, he says, after giving this example, he says, the asl is adam al-naqt, fayubni ala al-yaqeen. Yani, the original rule is that you didn't invalidate it. Yani, you can't say you invalidated just because of doubt. There has to be certainty. So the asl is that the person is still in tahara, because he has to base his ruling upon that which he is certain about, and what he is certain about is that he did perform ablution. Another example: استيقظ رجل فوجد عليه بللا ولم يرى احتلاما. A person, man, woke up and he found some wetness upon himself after sleeping, but he didn't see يعني, any semen or anything that was secreted. فشك هل هو يعني يعني the wetness that he saw, is it mani am la? Is it from semen or something else? فلا يجب عليه الغسل للشك. It is not obligatory upon him to take a ghusl just based on doubt. He has to be certain that it is mani. Could be other, something else. And then he gives more explanation. And then he mentions our hadith under discussion about the hadith of Abdul ibn Zayd and the hadith of Abu Huraira. Person had doubt in his prayer, and he mentioned both of these hadith. And then he says, "ما أن قرينة الحدث موجودة وهي ما في بطنه." Yani, he said that the person shouldn't leave the salat. I mean, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said the person shouldn't leave the salat unless they hear something or they smell something, even though there's something there that could be used for him to reach a conclusion that perhaps he invalidated his wudu. What is some bubbling in his stomach? But in spite of that, if he didn't become certain that he passed when, then he doesn't act upon doubt. And then the Shaykh says, and the other condition is the opposite of it, meaning the person who's certain about invalidating wudu and they're in doubt about tahara, the asl for that person is, yani, the person is certain that they invalidated wudu, and they're in doubt, did they go and make wudu after that? What is their condition? Al-asl, al-hadath. Yani, that they don't have a state of purification. ويستدلوا, and here the Shaykh brings us another benefit. يستدلوا لهذه المسألة بحديث أبي هريرة وعبد الله بن زيد, يعني the hadith of Abbad ibn Tamim رضي الله عنهم أجمعين, من باب قياس العكس. يستدلوا لهذه المسألة, يعني the opposite condition. The person who what? يعني is certain that they invalidated, but they're not certain they renew. That's not what the hadith talked about. The hadith talked about a person who knows that they made wudu, but they have doubt, did they invalidate it? So he's saying that hadith is used min bab qiyas al-aqs. Yani, from what perspective? Qiyas al-aqs. Yani, by making qiyas on the opposite of something. Yani, this hadith is about the person who's sure he has tahara, he's not sure about invalidating it. So there's qiyas al-aqs. Yani, you can make qiyas on the opposite of that. Means the person who what, is sure that he invalidated, he's not sure that he, that's the opposite. So by qiyas, yani, the same ruling is applicable. That which you are sure of, that is what counts. Next benefit the Shaykh gave, qiyas al-aqs, yani concerning qiyas al-aqs, is thabitun fi sharia. This is confirmed in the, yani qiyas al-aqs, did you ever hear about qiyas al-aqs? Yani, that you can make qiyas on the opposite of something? Yani, if you have a proof for something, you can say, I can use that as a proof for the opposite too. Huh? He said, this is thabitun fi sharia. Shaykh Uthaymeen said, this is confirmed. This kind of ruling, by using qiyas, the opposite of something, is confirmed in the sharia. But if a person dies without saying La ilaha illallah, then he'll be in the hellfire. Naam. Abdul ibn Mas'ud. But the Shaykh, he gave A different example. Qiyas al-Aqs. He said this is confirmed in the Sharia, and he doesn't just claim it. You know, like sometimes we read the books of fiqh, and they claim a lot of claims, but they don't bring any proof. They claim that you can't wipe over socks, but they don't bring any proof. They just said, Hadith al-Mughayrah, he said the Prophet wiped over kufs. So that's a proof that you can't wipe over anything else? What about if there's proof that you can wipe over something else? They didn't bring any proof. They just claimed that you can't wipe over socks. They claimed you can't wipe over socks if they have a hole. They claimed a lot of claims, but no proof. Wallahi, no proof. Prophet wiped over regular socks. Hadith on Sahih, we discussed it in detail. How many companions wiped over regular socks? Hadith, ahadith, athar, sahiha, lots of proof. But they make claims with no proof. And they reject the proof that is sahih. The Shaykh says, okay, I'm making a claim here, and here's my proof. Qiyas al-aqs, thabit fi sharia, khala sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, wa fi bubai ahadikum sadaqatun. What is this hadith? In a person having relations with their spouse, there's sadaqah. They get sadaqah, that's like sadaqah for them. قالوا يا رسول الله أيأتي أحدنا شهوته ويكون له فيها أجر يعني this old messenger of Allah, one of us has relations with our spouse and we get a reward for that. What's the axe? نعم, the Prophet said, أرأيتم لو وضعها في الحرام أكان عليه وزر. Prophet said, نعم, you get a reward. Don't you see that if you were to do it in that which is haram, you will get a sin, huh? So then, if you do it in that which is lawful, you get a reward. That's qiyas al-aqs. Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to them, قالوا نعم. فقال, the Prophet said, نعم, you will get sin if you do it in the haram. So likewise, يعني نعم, you will get reward. He said, فكذلك إذا وضعها في الحلال كان له أجر. So likewise, by opposite, if he does it in that which is halal, then he gets a reward. You know that if you do that which is haram, zina, you get a sin. But you didn't know that if you do that which is halal, you get the ajr of sadaqah. The Prophet said, naam, kadhalika, by qiyas al-ax. Is it a question about this?
Yes, sir.
Naam.
What about if you have no wife?
Then the miskeen cannot give sadaqah. You get it? Miskeen cannot give sadaqah. Now, yani the Arabs, they say, faqid ashay la yu'tihi. Faqid ashay la yu'tihi. The one who doesn't have, he can't give it. So, yani, be patient, inshallah. Zawajakallah bikran. Tahira, Muslima, Mu'mina. Okay, so the Shaykh, he goes on and he says, وَكَذَلِكْ لَوْ كَانَ عَلَيْهِ جَنَابًا. And so likewise, if the person is in a state of janaba, وَشَكَّ هَلْ اِغْتَسَلَ أَمْ لَا فَإِنَّهُ يَغْتَسِلْ فَلَا يَتَرَدَّدْ. Yani if a person, yani has a state of janaba, and then he is in doubt, did he take a ghusl after being in janaba? And he delayed it, and then he forgot, and he doesn't remember, فَإِنَّهُ يَغْتَسِلْ. Then he must take a ghusl. And he shouldn't yani hesitate in doing so. Because what? He knows that he had state of janaba. He's in doubt. Did he wash? Did he take a bath? Therefore he has to take a bath without any hesitation. The Shaykh says, هَذَا وَهَذِهِ أَعْنِي الْبِنَاءَ لِلْيَكِينَ وَطَرْحَ الشَّكَّ قَائِدَةٌ مُهِمَّةٌ دَلَّ عَلَيْهَا قَوْلَ النَّبِيِّ صلى الله عليه وسلم إِذَا شَكَّ أَحَدُكُمْ فِي صَلَاتِهِ فليطرح الشك وليبني على ما استيقنا. Hadith reported by Al-Imam Muslim. And if the Shaykh says that this, meaning this principle of basing our position upon that which we are certain about and rejecting that doubt, he said this is a qaida muhimma, very important principle. It is proven by the statement of the Prophet ﷺ, if any one of you has doubt in his salat, then he must reject the doubt. And he must yabni ala ma istayqana. He must base his position upon that which he is certain about. Yani a person is praying, and they're not sure, did they pray? three rak'ah or two rak'ah. They know they prayed at least two, but the third one they're not sure about, so what do? They base their opinion on what they're sure about, that is two, and then they make yani one more if it is Maghrib, or two more if it's Dhuha, Asr, or Isha. Naam. And then the Shaykh said this has many subdivisions, yani this principle is applicable to so many things, and he said, anytime a person has, yani, the human beings have a lot of different yani doubts and problems and situations, so all of these doubts and whisperings and stuff, yani, it will be removed, it will be yani eliminated, it will be discarded. وَهَذَا مِن بَرَكَةِ كَلَامِ النَّبِيِّ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ وَحَكْمِهِ. Yani in this, the removal of all these doubtful situations and problems that we're not sure about, by this principle, he said this is from the barakah of the speech of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam in his wisdom. وَهُوَ أَيْضًا مِنْ يُسْرِ الْإِسْلَامِ. And it is also, this principle, and being act upon it, is from the ease of Islam. Allah has made this deen easy for us. He has given us this kind of principle, so we have ease in our life. Wallahi, some people, they like difficulty. But Allah, يُرِيدُ اللَّهُ بِكُمُ الْيُسْرَ وَلَا يُرِيدُ بِكُمُ الْأُسْرَ. Allah wants ease for you. He does not want difficulty for you. This is the principle. If you know it, use it. Act upon it. This is what Allah wants for us, ease. He does not want difficulty. He does not want the Muslims to be falling into all kinds of confusion and troubles and all of this, yani being confused and lost. But he wants for us, yani all of our affairs to be clear and to be easy. And if a person submits to the like of these doubtful matters, their whole life will be ruined. Because shaitan will never leave you with this whispering and doubts in your state of purification only. Rather, he will come to you in your affairs of salat, siyam, and other than that. Rather, he will come to you in all the affairs of your life. Yani, even with your family, with your wife, with your husband. فَقَطَعَ الشَّارِعُ هذه الوساوس من أصلها وأمر بتركها بل دفعها حتى لا يكون لها أثر على النفس. يعني سبحان الله. So the Shari, that is the lawmaker, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, قطع هذه الوساوس من أصلها. He has cut it out at its root. From the root, not the branch, completely removed it. Completely removed it. And he has commanded us to leave it, leave doubts. And he has pushed it, yani, so far, حَتَّى لَا يَكُونَ أَثَرٌ فِي النَّفْسِ, until it doesn't have any effect upon us at all. Okay, I'm going to close with these last two conditions. I'm not going to read them because they're very long. Sheikh gave a long explanation here. But in any case, he said the other two conditions. What are the first two conditions? The person is certain that they have purification, they in doubt, did they invalidate it? So they are upon certainty. Keep your tahara, don't leave the salat. Second condition, a person is certain that they invalidated their tahara, and they in doubt, did they renew it? We're based upon certainty. Go and make wudu or ghusl. Third condition, the Shaykh says, قَوْلُهُ فَإِنْ تَيَقَّنَهُمَا وَجَهَلَ السَّابِقِ. What if a person is certain about both of them? Yani, they're certain that they did purify themselves, and they're also certain that they invalidated. But they don't know which one was first. I know I made wudu, I know I broke wudu, but I don't know, did I invalidate the wudu and then make wudu, or did I make wudu and then invalidate wudu? That's the third condition. Yani, a person is sure that both of these conditions has passed them by. They are certain about both of them, but they don't know which one of them was first. So the Shaykh said, يُقَالَ لَهُ مَا حَالُكَ قَبْلَ هَذَا الْوَقْتِ الَّذِي تَبَيَّنَ لَكَ أَنَّكَ أَحْدَثْتَ وَتَطَحَّرْتَ فِيهِ. Yani, what was your condition before the time of you being certain that you definitely invalidated wudu and you definitely purified yourself, but you don't know which one came first? What about before those two conditions? What was your condition before that? That's what you go back to. فَإِنْ قَالَ مُحْدِثْ. So if it is said that your condition was you was muhdith, yani you was yani out of state of purification, قُلْنَا أَنْتَ الْآنْ متطهر. فَإِنْ قَالَ مُتَطَهِرْ قُلْنَا أَنْتَ الْآنْ مُحْدِثْ. Yani if the person is sure that they made wudu and that they invalidated wudu, but they don't know which one was first, then we look to the condition before that. If they said before that, I was in a state of impurity, then we say, then you are pure now. Because if before those two things, you were impure, so then you are pure then. That's what you are. Yani your condition is pure. But if it is said that I was, my original condition before those two was that I was in a state of purity, then you need to go and, yani you're impure, you need to go and make wudu again. What is the explanation of this? The Shaykh says, I'm skipping yani some other stuff, but he said, explanation, why is he making this position? أنه تيقن زوال تلك الحال إلى ضدها وشك في بقائها والعصو بقاؤه. العصو بقاؤه. That's our rule. العصو بقاؤه. يعني he knows that he's certain that زوال تلك الحال إلى ضدها. يعني before those two conditions, what he's certain about was that he was pure. So he knows that that condition was removed because after that, he had two conditions. We don't know which one was first or last. So he knows, if he says that he was pure, and he knows that he left that condition, for sure, but he don't know which was the last condition, then, yani the asl is that he remains in that condition that he originally, that was before the two, yani matters that he's not sure which one was first. So the asl is biqa, yani his condition. So if he was muhdith before he purified himself and invalidated purity, he don't know which one he did first. If he was muhdith, then he knows that, yani, after that, he purified himself and he invalidated, but he don't know which one was first. So his condition, yani, is that which it originally was. The fourth condition is same thing. He knows that he purified himself. He knows that he invalidated his purity. He doesn't know, yani, which one was first, but he doesn't even know what was before that. He doesn't know what his condition was before that. And the Shaykh says, in this condition, wajiba alayhi al-wudu. He has to make wudu. لِأَنَّ لَيْسَ هُنَاكْ حَال. Because there's no condition that he's sure about. Even before those two conditions, he's not sure what his condition was. So there's nothing to go back to base it upon. Therefore, he has to make wudu. This is the madhab. Which madhab? هَذَا هُوَ al-madhab. What does he mean by that? The madhab of Imam Ahmed. وقال بعض العلماء إنه يجب الوضوء مطلقا. Some of the scholars said, يعني it's obligatory to make wudu no matter what. يعني if you're not sure, you just make wudu. Anyway, the Shaykh, he mentions in the end, he summarized four conditions. Person who's sure about tahara, doubtful about hadath. Person who's sure about hadath, doubtful about tahara. Person who's sure about both of them, but he doesn't know which one's first. But he does know his condition before that. And then the fourth condition is the person who yani was sure about tahara and yani sure about hadath, but he doesn't know which one was first, and he also doesn't know what was before that, then he has to make wudu. And this is the conclusion yani of the summary of the pages that the Shaykh discussed this with, long pages, but of course for the sake of time we couldn't read it all. Any question about what we read today? And really our time is up. Yani we're at the end of our time, I think, or maybe not. We have a few minutes left.
The fool was presented to the Messenger of Allah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Aisha said that these people would eat this food, and the Messenger of Allah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam advised her, said this and that, and you can move, eat the food. And they had just become Muslim, these people.
Okay, this is a very disputed issue right here. But anyway, in summary, the hadith where Aisha radiallahu anha said some people presented some food, and we don't know if they said Bismillah. And the Prophet ﷺ said, say Bismillah and eat.
No.
Okay, the whole of the hadith, yani different narrations, if you read all of them, it became clear that these people were, yani new in Islam. They may not have known the ruling about slaughtering mentioned in the name of Allah. They may not have known. That's different than people who know that you have to say Bismillah when you slaughter. That's not applicable to them. That's applicable to the person, first of all, who is a Muslim, not the kafir, a Muslim. And they knew in Islam, and perhaps they didn't know the ruling. That hadith is clear. That in that case, say Bismillah and eat. But the person who is not a Muslim, this hadith is not applicable to them. Because the hadith is about people who are Muslims, who presented the food, and we're not sure if they said Bismillah when they slaughtered. We're not sure. We're not saying they didn't say Bismillah. We're not sure if they did. Because they were new in Islam, perhaps they didn't know. So the Prophet said, say Bismillah and eat. That's not applicable to people who are not Muslims. That's not applicable to people who we know they didn't mention the name of Allah. It's applicable to where there's doubt. We don't know if they mentioned. Perhaps they didn't know because they were new Muslims, but they were Muslims. No. It's not applicable to non-Muslims. Okay, so that hadith is specific to that. And anyways, the scholars have two views concerning it. But what is more clear, Allahu A'lam, is that this is yani specific to this case. Yani of the people who are Muslims, and we are not sure if they mentioned. If we are sure that they didn't mention, khalas, that's not applicable. They are Muslims, but we know they didn't mention the name of Allah. It's not applicable.
No.
Or they're not Muslims. It's not applicable.
Right.
Allahu musta'an. The fact that they were Muslims, yani it's more likely that they mentioned the name of Allah.
No.
But we don't know. So that's where the doubt was. We're not really sure did they mention Allah. But what is felt from the hadith is that the only reason why they may not have mentioned Allah, because they were new in Islam. Maybe they didn't know. Okay, Khatib had his hand up and Muhammad also had his hand up. Now, Khatib is older. We'll go to him first.
A person travels, they come to the masjid, they didn't get to make the salat, so they come to the masjid and they make salat. Whatever salat it was. And then, after sitting, they end up having to use the restroom, they go to the bathroom, and then they say, oh, you know what, I didn't have salat. I mean, I didn't have wudu when I came here.
No.
So I'm going to make wudu now, and then the salat comes in, he joins the salat. He should make the salat that he forgot in the Jama'at.
Yeah, that's another question. I mean, that's not really related to our topic, but in any case, yani, if a person, for whatever reason, came to join the Jama'ah and they didn't perform the Salat before that, then their case, yani, it depends on the ruling of the scholars. Some scholars say the prayers have to be performed in their order. That's what we know from the Sunnah. That the prayers have to be performed in their order. When the Prophet ﷺ was in the battle, in which they were occupied by the pagans, and he was unable to perform the, which prayer? The Asr prayer. And Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu anhu came to him and said, Ya Rasulullah, may Allah curse these pagans, and so and so and so and so. I almost was unable to perform the Asr prayer before the sunset. Prophet ﷺ said to him, we didn't even perform it. We didn't even perform it. So what did he do? Did he pray Maghrib? No, he prayed Asr first and then Maghrib. That's the original rule, that the prayer should be performed in the order. But some scholars give different other scenarios, and perhaps there's enough time, or the time for the next prayer is also going out. And then that means you would have, if you prayed the Asr prayer and you missed the Maghrib prayer in this time, the Asr prayer you missed this time, now you missed the Maghrib prayer in this time. There's a lot of different yani considerations that may be looked at. The original rule is the prayers should be prayed in their time. There's no doubt that it's permissible for a person to pray in the Jama'ah with a different intention than the Imam. That's a fact. The proof of that is the hadith of the Prophet of Mu'adh ibn Jabal radiallahu anhu. He used to lead the people in prayer in his area, and then he used to come, I mean, he used to pray with the Prophet ﷺ, the Isha prayer, and then he would go to his masjid there in his area and lead the people in prayer. And there's no doubt that his intention was performing a voluntary prayer, and the people behind him were performing obligatory prayer. So there's no doubt that the intention between the Imam and the person who's following him can be different. So it's possible that that person may make intention for the prayer that he missed, even though he's praying in the Jama'ah and they're praying a different prayer. That's possible. That's possible to do that. Wallahu a'lam. We're going to stop
prayer,
here.
So the prayer he made when he came in thinking he had wudu.
Of course, he didn't have wudu, so he has no prayer. That prayer is invalid. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdik. Shadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka.